Matt, I got a podcast to do.
Okay, we broke it live from the west side. What a real ride in the rest down. They don't be out here talking about something that you don't know about. You catch a lick, you do your time, you don't testify. You keep your face card good and you
and we're back for week six. We have a whole new crew on this week. We have one of my old favorite roommates and also an old roommate of Jaws who is this past weekend, watched a little football with him. He left to go gamble in the middle, had to go meet his bookie down in Clear Lake, go make some appearances. And we also got our every week contributor, Chuck. Chuck, how you doing today?
Good.
Where you at?
I'm reporting live from the O.
And we also have Mr. Griffin. Griffin, where are you at tonight?
Reporting live from the couch next to Johnny Manziel. Sitting on the bench. Pathetic, Petten. Pathetic.
Pathetic? That's kind of where most Aggies deserve to be, sitting on the bench.
We're going to leave that one alone.
Ryan Tannehill playing fantastic.
Ryan Tannehill chewing out his practice squad. Get after him, Tannehill.
Didn't he just put another Aggie easy watch IQ on the practice squad?
Ooh, got cut. Oh. Back with the Texans.
Is it really?
Yes. Can't get rid of him.
We need that dub noise.
Live update.
Christine Michael still riding the pine for the Cowboys.
Christine Michael running over 100 yards for the Cowboys this weekend. Big.
Chuck got pretty excited whenever Christine Michael moved over to the Cowboys. He texted me on Monday. Will, what'd you tell me?
It's his time to shine. He gets one carry. Third and one.
And he fumbles.
Carries for negative 1 yards.
He'll fumble it. That guy can't hold on to the ball for anything. Sorry, Kristen, if you're listening.
I'm pretty sure he's listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so last week, we had a very eventful week of football, and I hope you enjoyed it because this week's slate, probably the worst we've talked about yet.
Not so fast, Dia.
You don't think so?
Probably like week two.
I don't know. I think this is worse than week two. We'll get there, though, because, like, Illinois and Iowa don't really care, but...
Big Ten, best conference in the country, Dia.
We're still sticking with that, I guess.
Dude, you obviously didn't see that Wisconsin-Iowa game last week.
I did not watch that 10-6 game or whatever it was. The game I was watching had that many points in the first 3 minutes. So we're going to go to that game. The first game I watched last week was Texas went to TCU, and the game was like 35-0 at the end of the first quarter. TCU just dominated.
Only 30-0. Give Texas a little credit.
Oh, sorry. They took that five off the board. So Texas goes on the road, gets crushed again. All their players are sniping at each other on Twitter. So, yeah.
Looking to transfer.
Oh, Chris Boyd, shout out, trending on Twitter. Can't keep his mouth shut during halftime.
Yeah, my favorite part about the whole story is one of his teammates said, get off your phone. He said, well, I'm always on my phone. And the guy's like, this isn't high school.
Unbelievable. Chuck. Malik Jefferson afterwards tweeting, do what you got to do, brother.
Did he really?
That guy, he's at the point now where it's like, I feel so bad for him. He wanted to go to A&M, and his parents just pushed him to Texas. And he should have been at A&M. We could have used him. He'd have been.
Griff, you sound a little biased here.
he wanted to go there, but he didn't commit there. Damn him.
He did. Well, he didn't because
sounds like you've been on TexAgs a little too
long. Someone wouldn't tell him that he was going after Chavis, and Jefferson was like, "Well, if you can't tell me what the defensive coordinator is, that's fine. I'm going over to Texas."
I mean, it sounds pretty reasonable when you're a defensive player.
I mean, it does, but the entire time he said, I wanted to be recruited as an outside linebacker, and then what does Charlie Strong do second week that he's there? Here he is, middle linebacker, true freshman. He ain't doing nothing over there right now. And
right.
It's killing his pro prospects. He can't.
It's not killing his pro prospects. He's a freshman who played five games.
He's getting dumped on currently.
By who?
Dude, the Pirates.
He does not look good.
Can't hit Arietta, so they hit him while he's batting and start a brawl.
Nice.
Did Arietta get hurt in the brawl? Because that'd just be really Cubs-like.
I don't think so.
All right, so our second game, we're off to a good start, but we're going to cut this down to 5 minutes. We spent a minute and a half in the first game.
You can probably edit most of that out.
So the next game, so me and Will both had opposite sides of real-life money on this game. Chuck, you can go and rub it in my face about Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. OU, not destroyed, but they handled West Virginia. They were in control of the game most of the way. And then they scored a couple late touchdowns to win. I think they won by, like, 17 or 20 or something like that.
I thought it was 20.
I think it was, like, 24-44, something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
We know Griff watched this next game because he just really had to see if Will was in the crowd. Minnesota at Northwestern.
Oh, nope. Didn't watch it. Didn't need to watch Minnesota lay that goose egg. That was awful.
You guys don't know good football when it hits you in the face.
Goodness gracious.
Based on Minnesota's offense, they can't catch the football when it hits them in the face.
Griff's 8th grade team tries to mimic that Minnesota offense.
Well, Griff does
Griff's 8th grade team could probably run every Minnesota play with equal efficiency currently. That Minnesota offense was abysmal.
Chuck, the next game, bad. Your future in-laws were there. What kind of scene was Camp Randall like?
Well, my future in-laws, they don't really remember much of it because they were too shit-faced. But
you're going to fit right in.
But, yeah, pretty ugly game. Iowa, they're going for that undefeated season. Hung on to win 10-7. Huge goal line stop as Wisconsin fumbles at the one.
So the next game, Tech doesn't want to remember. Baylor scored more points than the Big Ten combined last weekend, it seems like. Baylor covered the 17. They beat them and Tech combined. I'll give them some credit. They beat the highest over-under on record. Baylor rolls by 35 to beat Texas Tech. The next game, Griff was intently watching with Bama at Georgia. Griff, how'd it go?
Oh, that rain was intense. I'm going to be honest with you. The rain changed the entire outlook of the game. Fumbled snaps all over the place. It looked like a middle school game. But you know what? Henry is a stud.
Griff, did you watch the game?
He looked 100 times better than Chubb. Yeah. Yeah, of course I watched the game.
What do you mean fumbles all over the place?
Did you not watch, like, fumbled snaps between center and quarterback exchange? Like, happened, like, 4 or 5 different times. There's so many.
Maybe it was after the game was over.
Yeah, it did. I mean, but it's not that many were lost. But the fact is that it was sloppy, both football wise and weather wise. But Alabama obviously came out, showed that they were a better team than Georgia. It was blackout all over again, except this time you added a little bit of water.
See, I still don't know why people make themselves watch these boring games, which are like fumbles everywhere, when you have Baylor, the greatest show on turf, on at the same time. Our next game, another SEC game. Ole Miss went to Florida. Florida, did they pull the upset, Chuck?
They did.
They did.
Oh, sorry. Right. Sorry, I was watching the baseball game. So Florida dominated this game from the get-go. They completely shut down Ole Miss's offense, came out with more intensity and fire. They won by, like, 35.
I rarely hear from my sister except on football game days, and she texts me more about the Ole Miss game than I think she's texted me about a game in a couple years. And so she was really excited Ole Miss was getting beat so Baylor can move up one spot in the polls. Griff, the next game, you were all over. The Bulldogs going to College Station.
I was, yeah, I definitely was all over this one. Watched, you know, from the get-go till the end. You know, A&M did a great job of containing Dak Prescott the entire night. You know, rushing attack from Mississippi State was really limited. That A&M front four, one of the best, if not the best, front four in the nation.
Griff, how did you feel about the standard A&M cheap shot from their wide receiver?
Oh God! If there was video that was attached to this podcast and you could see it, if that's not a football play, I don't know what is. It's a receiver coming back.
So taking off somebody's head is a football play.
Chuck, did you watch this one or no?
Yes. How do you think I'm talking about that?
Chuck, did you see it? It was a linebacker that was pursuing a wide receiver. A wide receiver came back to make a crackback. Which was in complete vision of the linebacker.
He went shoulder to shoulder. If he went shoulder to shoulder, it would have been clean, except he went shoulder to helmet.
No, he went shoulder to shoulder.
Yes, he did.
Contact was made shoulder to shoulder first, and then it
sounds like you have a little bias on your end again.
Nope. Someone already said
hold on a second.
The SEC.
We have a call coming in. We got to go live to our South Carolina correspondent. He was at this next game. Notre Dame went to Clemson. Sally, can you describe the atmosphere during the hurricane? Sally. I think the floodwaters took him away. But what did happen was Clemson was winning, and they went conservative again because their offense isn't that good. Notre Dame had a shot to come back and win. Could have probably won, should have probably won. They lose by two. Clemson covers and wins.
Way to transition that one, Dia.
Yeah, I know. We had lots of back and forth about what being a football play, what wasn't a football play. I think it was just someone gave the guy who was like being an asshole on the sideline of the bowl game, he gave him a helmet and said, go on in there.
On to the next game.
On to the next game. Chuck, your Bruins.
My Bruins got destroyed by Arizona State.
Arizona State looking pretty good.
Arizona State dominated from the start. Yeah, not really much else to say about that.
Chuck, are you still a Bruins fan? Because back in college you were. Now I don't really know. You still follow them and like them? How does it go?
Yeah, I follow him. I was a big MJ or Maurice Jones-Drew fan and Mercedes Lewis. I still like him, but I moved on to the Northwesterns of the world, the real teams.
Makes sense. Griffin, another SEC game for you. Arkansas went to Tennessee.
Well, at least Brett Bielema didn't get his ass kicked 3 weeks in a row.
I think he did already. That'd be 4 weeks in a row.
No, would it be 4 weeks in a row?
Yeah, because Toledo, would. Tech, and A&M. Can't forget Toledo.
That's three. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Toledo. You know Toledo is still undefeated.
Yes, they are. They just cracked the top 25 polls. They're at 24 this week. It's. I'm glad that Bielema can put it back together. Arkansas still has a little bit of fight in them. Hopefully they can take some steam out of Alabama's sail this weekend. We'll see. I thought that Arkansas, I didn't get a chance to watch much of this game because A&M game was on at the same time. But Arkansas's got a pretty lethal rushing attack, and they can wear down just about anybody with that offensive line.
Speaking of wearing down, Oklahoma State must have worn down the Big 12 refs because they get gifted another win this week. Kansas State,
Boone Pickens money right there.
Yeah, I know. Kansas State was hanging around, which I'll give them credit for doing, in Stillwater. Oklahoma State won the game, did not cover the 8, though. And our last game of the week, last game of last week, was Arizona went to Stanford. Chuck, did you watch any of the late-night game?
I did not. I have no clue what even the score was, except for Stanford covered.
Stanford won by, 21 or something like that, so Stanford did win and cover. So, our standings from last week, Chuck and Sums led the way with 9 points apiece. Me and our South Carolina correspondent, Sally, both had 7. Whitney, the White Lion, had 6. Our correspondent of last week and our correspondent of this week, and Dub, all had 5 last week. Uncle Brett had 4. K-Money took the morning off because he was doing yard work, so he got 3 last week, but he didn't pick the first 4 games, so he may have done well. We don't really know. But he got 3 right in the last games. Overall standings, Chuck extended his lead over Whitney. He's got a 38 points overall. Whitney's at 34. I'm at 30. Sally's at 29. K-Money's at 26. Dub's at 21. Griffin is at 20. Sums is at 16. And then...
Don't forget Uncle Brett with 4.
I got Uncle Brett. Oh, yeah. He's got 4 total. Uncle Brett did text me that he wasn't really proud of the fact that the first time he sends me picks to put on this was the worst week he's had all season. But he'll get a chance to redeem himself this week. He also did let me know that last week we told him he could hire Josh Gordon to work at his dealership that he runs. But he said he would hire Gordon, but he couldn't pass a drug test. That's not really in the cards. So recapping the money, Griffin liked that one. So you're keeping the money aspect of things. Last week, I put 300 on TCU and 300 on the over-under for Baylor Tech. I hit both of those. I bet 400 on Notre Dame and lost. We'll bet on six different games the equal amount on TCU, Oklahoma, Baylor, Bama, A&M, and Notre Dame. He won five of the six. Evan bet on the over-under of Tech and Baylor. He hit that for $500. He lost because he bet on the Mississippi State money line. So last week, Evan lost $46. Chuck won another $591. I won $145. So cumulative, Chuck is now up $1,316. And then I'm down now $800. So I'm coming back a little. For a guest leaderboard.
You're strong $2,100 behind me here.
Hey, but I'm up $100 from where I was against myself last week. Compared to you, I lost another $500. But all right, so our leaderboard, since my math was wrong the first couple weeks, it's kind of changed up a little bit. Dub leads the way with $909 won. And the rest of our friends are not faring so well. Kirch is at negative $46. He beat our number three guy by 80 cents. Murph is at negative $47. Murph is also at negative 46. Yeah, so they're both tied at negative 46. My fault. Sally's at negative 418, and Garza's at negative 1,000. Previously, I had Garza at 1,000, but that's assuming that he bet 1,000 and lost. Well, it still means he lost 1,000. I had him at zero, so that wasn't right.
Thanks for the exclamation.
Well, because I know I'm going to hear from Garza, why did I go from zero to negative 1,000? And the answer is because you bet 1,000 and lost it all. So Chuck's leading the way in pretty much every category we have. And we're going to get Sums on here and see if Sums can rival in 1 week. So I think it's possible. But now we got Grip.
Vegas is going to shut me down soon.
Well, right now we're kind of counting on Grip to lock you down. So let's see how this goes.
All I give out is winners.
Oh, yeah.
Griff, how's your eighth grade team doing? Lots of winners?
No. Hey, you know what? They're winners in my heart.
Are they? Griff, how many touchdowns have you scored this year?
The politically correct answer would be zero.
What's the unpolitically correct answer?
Fucking zero.
Okay.
Jesus. It's terrible.
Scored a couple in practice.
Have you guys kicked a field goal yet?
Yeah, do we have a long snapper that can snap a field goal?
So you guys not only haven't scored a touchdown, you haven't scored a point?
No.
You guys, they're going for that safety.
All right, now I'll tell you what. In today's game, we ended up turning the other team over four times.
And okay? You still didn't score?
Still didn't score. You know what? Our offense, guess how many yards we had today?
Negative 10.
Yeah, you're just about right. We were in the negatives. I don't know what our total yardage is, but we were negative for the game.
Griff, sounds like you guys need to find a new coach.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Defense forced four turnovers. Get this. We started all our first four possessions all inside of our own 20-yard line.
You need to put it on that defense, guys. We need a scoop and score or pick six.
Yeah, Griff, dude, you guys got to work on blocking
the
pick six.
We picked two and we scooped two. We just didn't score them because, we ain't very fast.
Griff, how many points does your defense give up?
Okay, so our offense, all right, I'll be honest with you, we had two first downs the entire game. So we were three and out or four and out every possession. Basically, and we gave up 26.
You guys have any trick plays?
Do we have any trick plays, dude? Dia, we can't even throw the ball to the left for a 5-yard slant.
You start off with like a screen. Get your quarterback a little confidence.
Our offensive line looks like it's blocking a screen every play.
You need to do a shovel pass.
A shovel pass.
Griff, you guys on kickoff return, because it seems like you guys get scored on a lot, you need to run like some trick kickoff returns. What's the worst that can happen? You give up more points?
Griff, wide receiver screen. Like an immediate, like as soon as he catches it, just throws it out to the wide out. To the slot receiver.
Yeah, it's, we run that. The only problem is that we have a quarterback that can't really throw that pass.
Why don't you run the ball?
Sounds like you should make some
adjustments. Why don't we run the football?
Yeah.
Dia, we've had this discussion. I have linemen that are getting down in four-point stances when I've been telling them for 2 years that they need to be in three-point stances.
Well, if you're running the ball, they're going to come off the ball and hit the person in front of them. So, like, when you're running the ball, that works.
That. Well, yeah. You would think that, but they kind of bounce off of them all because right. They don't really use their
hands.
We're
going to transition here because I think we lost everybody talking about eighth-grade football for a little while. All right, so this week's games are kind of rough. But there's some hope for them. For instance, if you're looking for something to do on a Thursday night and you're in Houston, your number one priority has to be the SMU at U of H game. The line
I would think my priority would probably be the Astros game.
See, that's where you're wrong, Chuck.
Astros Royals.
No, that's where you're wrong. See, it's got to be the Smooth Ponies coming to face Greg Ward and the Tom Herman Cougars. It's got to
be. Or you could always, and I wouldn't want to watch this, but you could always watch the Texans game.
But why would you want to do that when the Cougars are probably going to win?
Well, that's why I'd say I'd watch the Astros.
Same story, though. The Cougars might win. Anyway, so in this game, Greg Ward, it's like his first time on the national stage to actually be able to show himself off a little bit. His numbers are crazy so far. He's averaging 250 through the air, and he's their leading rusher with 120 yards per game on the ground. Their running back, Kenneth Barrow, is averaging 5.5 yards a carry. More impressive is their defense is +2 in turnover margin a game, which is third in the country. SMU's, I mean, I'm not going to say a turnaround yet, but Chad Morris has shown life in that program. Matt Davis looks like that ag swag that the A&M Aggies thought they had a couple years ago. Anyway, all in all, I just think that SMU is going to be okay. I just don't think they're there this year, but I still don't think they're going to lose by 25.5. So give me the Ponies.
Agree. Agree. Matt Davis looks good in that offense. Chad Morris has that offense running. I like Greg Ward. He's a great player. He's going to be a name that comes out after this game where everybody gets a chance to see him. But at the same time, SMU's been covering this year, and they've been covering versus good teams. U of H is not
like James, like James Madison.
Mm-hmm.
That one particular.
But SMU has been covering against good teams, and they're not going to be playing same quality team as they've been playing this season so far. They should be just fine versus U of H.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I don't really have much more to add that y'all haven't already said. I really think with it being a Thursday night game, 26 points is a lot, and we've seen on Thursday night games they're very rarely blowouts like that because teams aren't as prepared. And I think a lot of people see U of H as undefeated. Greg Ward's big game last night. Give me the 26 points.
I also think that they might be distracted trying to get Astros updates and possibly Texans updates, so I just really think that the Rangers aren't playing. SMU is going to be focused.
Oh, you're ridiculous.
You think Garza's going to be sending us texts hating on the Cougars if they keep winning? Like, we actually care?
No, he knows. He's probably going to
start. You know what your problem is? The Texans, the Rangers do play tomorrow.
Oh, well, okay. In that case, they might be distracted, but not enough where 26 is going to cover for them. So, I'm taking the Ponies. Griffin, what's our next game?
Oh, big one. Big one for Texas football fans. We got OU versus the T-Sips from Austin. Good Lord. I want to say this game is going to be a bloodbath. You saw what happened in Fort Worth last week. 50-7, and Texas is scoring in trash time. It's unbelievable. I mean, OU actually looks like a decent football team this year. They put a hurting on West Virginia. They went into Tennessee, won a game at Rocky Top. You know,
very tough place to play the last 15 years. It's been really hard.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
Tennessee's only blown this year. Oklahoma, who was it? Florida, Arkansas.
Okay, yeah, Tennessee's blown. Look, but OU is a much better football team, much better coach football team. I love Lincoln Riley's offense. That offense has revitalized the OU program that I thought was on the down and outs. This guy comes back in, and he starts working miracles there. You got an overall against the spread record. OU's 3-1 against the spread this year. What are we at, 16.5 for this game, or are we at 17 currently?
17.5.
17.5. Ooh. I might tease this one down to 17 just to be safe.
Well, it's not a dynamic spreadsheet, so it's 17.5.
17.5. All right.
Take it or leave it.
I'm still going OU. Okay. They're 3-1 against the spread. Texas is 1-4 against the spread. They're 1-3 as an underdog inside games. Even if it's a rivalry game, this
you're throwing out way too many stats here
of just a blowout in the making. Texas is fighting with each other inside the locker room.
Chuck, what do you got?
So I have UT to cover the 17.5. I think they come out and play with a little bit more pride after getting blown out by 50. And I know there's a bunch of controversy going on right now, but we got to remember, so before the TCU game, they played Oklahoma State close. They played Cal close. Really, it's only the Notre Dame game that was really bad, and obviously the TCU game. I think too much of the public perception is down on UT. I think they cover the 17.5. Dia, tell me what you got.
All right, so I'm with you. I don't have any real reason to think that Texas is going to cover 17.5 on a football perspective. But I just don't trust Oklahoma enough. Like Griff said, they did go to Tennessee and they won by one. I also don't think Tennessee's any good. So I thought West Virginia was good. They got blown out. I'm wanting to see if
Oklahoma shows what you know then.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to go and match your pick. I think that Texas can cover. I mean, Texas isn't going to be this bad all year. I'm not saying they're good, but at some point they're going to start covering spreads other than the one they covered with Cal. I do want to point out that Texas is currently ranked in the S&P Plus rankings from Football Outsiders. They're ranked in the 70s right now. They're ranked just above Purdue and Wake Forest, but they're also ranked behind Central Michigan. Shout out to our girls, Sarah, Chandonette, Chardonnay, Shando, whatever we're going to call her now. Her chips are ranked above Texas in the S&P Plus. That's all I got on that game.
Dude, I'm glad to see you finally start picking the same as me. Maybe you'll win some.
It's the goal, right? Will, what's our next game?
Oh, shit.
Every week we're going to go in order, and you always forget.
What is next? Oh, the brunch game of the week. Illinois at Iowa. Iowa trying to pursue their undefeated season. They got through their toughest test of the year against Wisconsin. Now they move on to a game against Illinois. You know what? I was listening to the radio earlier today, earlier this week, and we had Big Ten fan call in and says, this country doesn't know what they're missing. Wes Lunt is special. I got Illinois to cover the 11 points against Purdue – or Iowa. Iowa – this is pretty bad. Iowa's due for a letdown after the big win over Wisconsin. 11 points? Iowa didn't even score 11 points last week. I got Illinois to cover.
It's a brush game of the week.
I'm done. That was bad.
Griffin, what do you think?
Oh, hell, he's right. It's a letdown game. It's a classic letdown game. There's a couple classic letdown games this week on this slate. Illinois, I think, should cover it, even though they're on the road at minus 11. Iowa's offense is just not good enough to pull away from teams at that number.
Yeah, so this is our brunch game of the week, but this is like the Cheerios brunch. Like, you don't really want to pay to go out. You're just going to eat a bowl of cereal. No one wants to watch this game.
You definitely have to drink a bunch of Bloody Marys during this game.
Yeah, as long as you make them at home with your bowl of Cheerios, because you're definitely not paying for this thing. So Iowa's an 11-point favorite, and you're both saying it's a letdown game, and I'll give you that. But when you score 10 points, what's your letdown? A field goal? Like, I don't really know. Wes Lunt, you know, the nation doesn't know about him. That's also because he's averaging 5.8 yards per attempt, which is, like, really bad.
And couldn't even keep a job as a mediocre Big 10 or Big 12 school.
Yeah, he got, like, the job when he was, like, someone else was injured. They came back. He's like, I got this. And Gundy's like, no, you need a transfer. He's like, okay, I see what's going on. So anyway, so he ends up at Illinois for a reason. And Illinois is, like, not supposed to do anything this year. They fire their coach, doing pretty well. Give me Illinois. I don't think either team is really all that good. I think this is like a 14, 20 to 10 game, something like that. I think Illinois has a chance to win, but I definitely don't think they're going to lose by more than 11. So I think we're all taking the Illini. Which leads me to – yeah, okay, yeah, I got the next game. So which leads me to – I mean, I'm going to watch it, but nobody else should watch this game. Baylor goes to Kansas. The line we had on Monday when we put the sheet together is 45. Kansas's point total as a high this year against the D1 football team was 23. That was against Memphis. They're now on their four-string starting quarterback. Their first string got injured in the spring game. Their other three have gotten hurt already. So now they got this freshman named Ryan Willis out there. If he can't move the ball, their only weapon is Kajon Kilner at running back. I mean, he's okay, but like that's
all. Do you even know who that is?
I had to look him up today. So Baylor's going to do Baylor things on offense. It's a chance for their defense to try to make more strides like they made last week, I feel like. So let's see what they can do before their first real test in Waco with West Virginia next week. But I guess I didn't say this. I don't think Baylor's going to win by 45. Bryles usually like kind of slows it down and runs the ball a lot. So I'm taking Kansas to cover the 45.
Yep, I gotta agree. I'm going to take Kansas to cover the 45 for the exact reason that you just said. We saw it in the Texas Tech game, second half, where we score 14 points. And it's mostly because Bryles just starts running the ball, doesn't want to run up the – I mean, I guess he doesn't want to run up the score, but he doesn't want to take chances for the injuries. Kind of game's over, let's just get out of here. So I'm going to say Kansas covers the 45. Maybe something like a 55-14 type game.
Not so fast, my friend. Not so fast.
Finally, Baylor, somebody's picking different.
Baylor, big. Okay. Honestly, Baylor's got the team speed that Kansas just does not have. Kansas has 60 between 60 and 65 scholarship players because Charlie Weiss absolutely screwed them recruiting wise. David Beatty, first year coach, he doesn't know what he's getting himself into. I'm not a huge fan of Baylor defense, but I'm an even less fan of Kansas offense. I'm a teacher. Relatively speaking, I've made a lot of money off of betting off of Kansas. Okay. Kansas is terrible.
What does being a teacher have to do with that part?
Meaning I ain't betting a lot of money, but I win a lot betting against Kansas. Kansas is not a good football team. They're just not. They don't have the depth. When you start running four receivers on four verticals and then you throw Shaq Linwood underneath, there's no way that they're going to have the ability to rotate in decent football players in order to keep up with Baylor. By the fourth quarter, they're just going to be busting runs that should only go for 3 or 4 yards that are going to end up going for 15 or 20.
That's
with their third
the
string running backs. It's going to be disgusting. It's a bloodbath. I see Baylor winning this game somewhere to the tune, somewhere between 60 and 70. I think Kansas might score 10.
Hey, Griff, we texted about this earlier in the week. Shaq Linwood, first or second team All-American?
I do not believe Shaq Linwood makes either team All-American because you're going to see Leonard Fournette and Nick Chubb make those two teams. I think that Shaq Linwood, if he makes a team All-American, it will be honorable mention, and I think that's the best he does because Chubb and Fournette are the media darlings.
Dude, tell me your thoughts on Fournette.
I think Fournette's damn good, but I also think that Fournette's the only thing LSU has. and he runs the ball very well. But, like, they give it to him every play. Chuck Linwood averages more yards per carry, has scored just about the same amount of touchdowns and probably 30% less touches. I mean, let's not lie. Like, I don't know how LSU – that's what I was texting you guys earlier this week. I don't know how LSU is getting first-place votes. Their quarterback has only thrown over 100 yards in one game. Like, that's not the best team in the country. It's just not.
Yeah, how would you compare him to Chuck Linwood?
I would take him over Chuck. I just think Shock is very underrated and is a hell of a running back.
Shock
could start at most teams in the country.
What would you say about this? Okay, Leonard Fournette faces a constantly stacked box. Mm-hmm. We're talking 7 to 8 defenders consistently versus LSU because we know that Brandon Harris cannot throw the ball. As evidenced last week, 4 for 15. Terrible.
Yeah, but hold on. You also throwing like 4 for 15 versus Eastern Michigan.
Yeah, I was gonna say you can stack the box with Eastern Michigan, one of the worst rush defenses in the country. Don't mean shit.
It's I understand that Eastern Michigan.
Look at Auburn. Auburn can't stop anybody either.
What I'm trying to say is because Brandon Harris is so subpar.
I mean, I'm with you. I think Fournette is the best player in the country.
Fournette is facing such a stacked box, whereas versus Baylor, you must cover with 4 wideouts. You must have at least 1, if not 2, safeties over top on them. So that's leaving you at maximum 6 in the box.
What if Fournette had McGowan as his fullback?
McGowan plays like 15 plays a game.
McGowan is
McGowan's a media hype machine. That's about it so far.
That's what.
Did you see that video where like early in the game we threw the touchdown pass and he was at fullback and just leveled somebody?
Yeah, it's because he used to play guard, so like that's the only thing he can do. Notice he hasn't even caught a pass or like had a pass thrown to him yet.
I'd hope that he's leveling a linebacker that's trying to come.
I think
through.
It was a safety.
Dude's motherfucking 380 pounds.
An outside linebacker came and like tried to make a play in the backfield, and Seth Russell just lays him out.
Jeez, I mean, McGowan's, I mean, he's talented for what he is, but he is, he's just there. I mean, it's 15 plays a game. It's a specialized role.
Yeah, McGowan's going to be in the WWE. That's his future.
Yeah.
So the only thing about Fournette I'll say is that if you go back and look at how he did in, like, in the back half of SEC play last year, granted, he was a freshman. He's probably better conditioned now and all that, but he only averaged like 4.2 yards a carry last year, which is fine, but it's not elite. So I'd say that we're comparing Fournette right now to Eastern Michigan, Syracuse. Who else did they play? They didn't play McNeese. Who else did they play?
They played Auburn. They played Mississippi State.
Okay. So you have 2 good teams, SEC teams, and you have one like bad ACC team, and Eastern Michigan's one of the worst teams in FBS football.
D, he's almost got 1,000 yards rushing through 4 games.
Yeah, again, look at the carry numbers.
Still.
I'm not saying he's not good. I'm saying that everyone says he's like untouchable as the Heisman winner, and like running backs don't win the Heisman now.
Fournette is the next Adrian Peterson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he was rated that way at high school. Like, he didn't come out of nowhere. He was the number one player out of high school, I think.
Yes. You know who's number 2 in the Heisman odds right now?
Seth Russell.
Prancer.
You know who's number 5 in the Heisman odds right now?
Kyle Allen?
Nope.
Kyle Allen's actually up there.
Shock
he is
Linwood?
Up there. Nope.
Corey Coleman.
Miles Garrett.
No, Griff.
Sneaking in. Number
Griff,
5, ESPN.
Griff, that's bullshit.
250-1.
Griff, I don't care what ESPN says. I'm going off Vegas odds. He's 75-1. Last person.
All right, well, obviously, yes, Vegas odds, okay. But if we're going ESPN hype machine, Miles Garrett might.
ESPN hype machine are people that put money on this. I'm taking the people that put money on it.
I understand. I'm not telling you to ever put your money on Miles Garrett because the defensive player is not
going
to win.
Griff, I will be your book on that bet if you want to take it.
I wouldn't take that bet. That's wasting money, even if I put $10 on it. You know, I could go out and buy myself a Subway sandwich. Shout out to Subway. Thank you for supporting me. But
Griff, I'm looking at the Heisman odds right now. He is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, number 19.
Where's Kyle Allen?
Kyle Allen is number 11.
Where's Shock?
So he ain't on there.
Damn
he ain't on there.
Where's Corey Coleman?
He ain't on there.
He has 11 touchdowns through four games.
He's on Blitnikoff watch lists, Dia. He ain't on Heisman watch lists.
Your top five.
Hold on. So the wide receiver can't be on the Heisman watch list, but the defensive end can?
Dude, all right, I'm telling you right now, if how many games have you watched?
There are zero wide receivers on this list.
I've watched every Baylor game this season, and Corey Coleman, he's a stud, but he's running go routes the entire time. Myles Garrett is getting there, getting triple teamed by SEC caliber offensive lines, and he's still getting back, making sacks, forcing fumbles, and really just messing up all kinds of zone read option plays.
Oh, no, he's very good. I've texted you that.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to get back on track here. Griffin, you got the next game.
Ooh. Georgia, Tennessee, both coming off of disheartening losses for one way or another. Tennessee blowing the game versus Arkansas. Georgia getting blown out. Neither team, I'm looking at numbers here, neither team great against the spread. Both are actually 2-3. Georgia's 2-3 is a favorite. Tennessee is 0-1 as an underdog. I'm looking at it from a standpoint of this. Tennessee's at this point where Butch Davis, you know, do you continue on with him? Yes, he's an amazing recruiter, but what kind of results are we getting? And Georgia's just always steady, Eddie, Mark Richt. I really like Nick Chubb. I like the Georgia rushing attack. Georgia passing game isn't bad either, you know. It's just last week they ran into weather conditions that didn't help them. I think that Georgia is the more supremely talented team going into this matchup. I've got Georgia by 10 on the road. Currently the line's at 3. I'd take Georgia. I'm pretty confident in this one.
Theo, what do you got on this?
I also have Georgia. I think Tennessee's better than what they've played so far. But they're still not going to compete for the division title like people thought they could in the beginning of the year. Josh Dobbs and Jalen Hurd, I think, have been overrated by the media and by everybody else. They're fine. They're not very good or very great. They're okay. Grayson Lambert last week looked like the Virginia transfer that he is. I think when he gets under pressure and plays good teams, he like Alabama last week, he's just not that good. But I don't think that Tennessee's that team. I'm taking Georgia. I think they can cover the 3 on the road.
Not so fast, my friends. Tennessee wins this game. I'm going to give you a couple reasons why. Tennessee, I know they've had a couple letdowns, well, blown games. They are more talented than their record shows. Tennessee is one of those teams every single year. They always either scare somebody or upset somebody big. Georgia, after last game, is in a letdown mode, and after this weekend, those Georgia fans that always call for Mark Richt's head is going to be in full force. Tennessee with a W.
W by more than 3?
The 3-point dog. I mean, I'll take the 3 points as insurance, but Tennessee wins.
Will, let's go to your home front. Are they your new favorite team, or they've been your favorite team the last couple of years? We just haven't realized it.
I've liked Northwestern for a couple of years. You probably haven't realized it too much because they suck so bad. it's like being a Texans fan.
Yeah, like we kind of hide out until we make the playoffs, and we kind of go away. Then J.J. Watt makes a couple more sacks. We pop back up, and then we don't play so well, so we go back in hiding. We're Astros fans and all that, so yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, for this one, I mean, I am a Northwestern fan, so, I mean, it pains me to say this. And I'm going to take Michigan minus the 8 points. Like I said, I've said the last couple weeks, I think when I said when Michigan was playing BYU, this is a team that I would not want to play. They are getting better and better every week. I think the 8 points is kind of high for the type of defensive struggle Northwestern usually is, which leads me to believe that Vegas knows something, kind of like the BYU line was. That I think Michigan wins this pretty easily. I look at something like a 24-10 type score. And the other thing you got to remember is people think about Michigan that they weren't any good. They lost their first game. Their first loss of the season was Utah, now the number 5 team in the country. So they've started to look better and better every week. Give me Michigan by 14.
Griff Monster?
I'm going not so fast on this one. It's I like Northwestern. I like Northwestern quite
a bit. I like Northwestern too.
I know you do. Currently, Michigan's coming off of two straight shutouts. They blanked BYU. They blanked Maryland. I don't think they do it three straight weeks. Northwestern plays great defense. Northwestern doesn't get blown out by anybody. They're going to hang around. You got an 8-point spread. If you tell me that Michigan's got to win this game by two scores versus Northwestern, I don't think so. I respect Fitzgerald too much as a coach. I think he's an amazing coach. You look at the numbers coming into this game, they're very similar defensively and offensively. They match up, on paper, just even keel. I like Northwestern to cover this game.
So far I've sounded like a homer this whole podcast for Baylor, so we're going to keep it right there. This week Pat Fitzgerald said our defensive numbers look great because we haven't played Baylor. And he's right. Luckily, they still don't play Baylor this week. They play another bad offense. When Jake Rudock's your quarterback, your defense can be as great as it wants to be. I just don't know how far that's going to take you. Jim Harbaugh teams are always very physical, and I think Michigan is, I mean, not that they've overachieved, but they've kind of reached the talent. They've gotten the talent to where Brady Hoke couldn't take it. So I think they're very good. I think they still win this game. I think Northwestern just doesn't lose by, like Griff said, I don't think they lose by 8 or more. So taking the Wildcats, I think they're going to be fine. Michigan's best offensive weapon in Devon Smith is probably going to miss the game. So I'm taking Northwestern. So now that we're done with our first six games, we're kind of split on who's going to win Northwestern Michigan. We've enlisted Griff this week to go through his SEC power rankings. Griff is the one of our friends who watches SEC games most. So with A&M coming up in their big matchup with Alabama next week, we wanted to go through the Griff and power rankings. But before we get there, I wanted to touch on Griff. What are you drinking tonight?
Ooh, Griff, coming strong. It's not just one. What it is it's a medley of pumpkin beers. Okay, we've got Krunkin Pumpkin coming from Carbach Brewery here in Houston, Texas. Mm-hmm. We've got Carbachtoberfest, also coming from Carbach Brewing Company here in Houston, Texas. And then we've got a little celebratory. My mother-in-law brought me a Shock Top Pumpkin Wheat.
That's what I had last week.
For the fact that, I just found out that I was having twins. So.
Congrats, Greasy.
Thank you. So we're having a little pumpkin medley here in honor of our boy Evan and the famous pumpkin stem from Baylor University.
I think if we ever brew a beer like we've been talking about, we should just name it the Pumpkin Stem. We could put Evan in a pumpkin costume on the cover.
I think that'd be perfect, honestly.
Yeah.
That'd be the greatest beer of all time.
And Griff, you told us this in pre-show, so we're going to go ahead and get this out to the masses. What was your first baby gift your mother-in-law gave you?
Oh, first baby gift I received. So, a little background information on me. I went to A&M, graduated 2009. Now I've got
what other school did you go to before that?
I met you knuckleheads at Baylor, because I went to Baylor for a year and a half. Dia was my roommate. Will was the house that I spent most of my time at sophomore year because I couldn't stand my roommates my sophomore year.
My bad, Griff.
You were my roommate, like, I guess my pseudo junior year, but I was pretty stupid, so it was still my sophomore year while you guys were on your junior years. Anyways, so I met my wife. She graduated from the University of Texas, and I got some matching onesies that are Longhorn onesies. I told my mother-in-law, direct quote, "I ain't fucking wearing that around me." So,
hey Griff, I got a bet for you. It's actually pretty favorable. If you win, you don't have to do anything. So, but if Texas beats Oklahoma, if I buy you a giant Texas onesie to wear to a football game, will you do it? Think of the children. Texas,
if Texas wins
this weekend, yep.
Yeah.
Then you have to wear a onesie to the Baylor game you come to in a couple weeks.
So what happens if I win the bet? What happens if Oklahoma wins?
And they're expected to win, so I don't know.
Well, that doesn't seem like a very fair bet to me. There's got
to
be some kind of
kickback. This is very similar to the Mike and Mike Northwestern Notre Dame bet. That was a 17-point spread, too.
Northwestern Notre Dame? I'm still not.
Do you guys know what I'm talking about or no?
No idea.
No.
So Mike Greenberg went to Northwestern. Mike Golic went to Notre Dame. And so they bet on something on if Northwestern beat Notre Dame straight up as 17-point dogs, and they did. So that was where Mike Golic had to do, like, the Kim Kardashian, like, photo shoot.
What?
I don't know if I want to see Griff do one of those, or vice versa.
I don't think the masses want to see that.
I don't think anybody wants to see that either. But
no. So, Griff, what do you say?
You don't want to
Charlie's
see me.
Charlie's all for it.
You don't want to see me in a onesie.
Well, Charlie's aunt.
Right, do not want to see me in a onesie. I'll cook you guys some good ribs. But I ain't showing up in no onesie.
For you fellas listening, we tentatively have Griff now listed for the Oklahoma Baylor game on November 14th.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, not tentatively. I'm putting my foot down.
Okay. All right.
Barring wife.
So you're not putting your foot down. Okay.
I'm putting my foot down, barring the wife.
The foot is still up.
Foot's still up. But, all right.
So let me tell you what I'm drinking. So. Earlier, I went to my spot, the growler spot. I picked up a nice growler of Eighth Wonder AstroTurf, which is very good.
And solid.
Yeah, it's damn good. So anyway, I had one of those, and I still have some Oktoberfest beer in my fridge, so I'm now drinking a Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest. So I wasn't entirely sure where it's brewed, and on the back it says, we brew in Chino, California, and in Mills Rivers, North Carolina. So I'm not entirely sure where this one came from, but let's just say it's California. So, whatever. So that's what we're drinking. Chuck, what are you drinking tonight? Fruit Punch Gatorade?
No. Going with the normal lemon-lime Gatorade.
I got to text Rachel. We got to get some sort of diversity in the house.
Keep the electrolytes going so I can stay up for this damn thing.
Okay.
Oh, breaking news. Cubs win the series. They're moving on to the next round.
They won the one-game series.
They won the one-game series.
Is it a series then or just a game?
It's a play-in.
Arrieta is a boss.
Griff's right. It's a play-in. It's like going to Dayton.
Mm-hmm. It is. That's exactly what it is.
Astros won the series last night.
They won the Dayton play-in.
You damn right. Astros going to beat the Royals 3-1.
Dude, Cubs Cardinals series, that's going to be nuts up here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not going to be nuts down here in Houston. The Cubs Cardinals series.
Yep.
Dude, I'm targeting my Northwestern audience up here.
They might want to see you at a game first. Anyway, so we've also had Griff prepare some SEC rankings. So, Griff, why don't you go and like kick us off?
All right, so we're coming through this week, SEC power rankings. How are we standing after 5 weeks end of the season? Okay, so as you can imagine, things got a little shook up through the first – after week three and week four. But, you know, you look at it, and at the top, it's got to be Alabama. It has to be. They are absolutely dominant. I don't care what happened against Ole Miss. Ole Miss turned them over 5 times, hit a Hail Mary off like 5 people's heads, and scored a touchdown. And they still only won the game by 7 points. Or what was it? Yeah, it was
six?
Six. Yeah, 43-37. I'm looking at the score. 6 points. I mean, it's disgusting. The fact that Alabama can be turned over 5 times and still lose the game by only 6 points is pretty gross. Derrick Henry is just – if there wasn't a man named Leonard Fournette in the SEC at LSU, Derrick Henry would get every bit of the accolades that he deserves. That guy's awesome. He's going to be making so many plays on Sunday here in the next year or two.
Hold on. So would you take Nick Chubb over Derrick Henry?
No.
Okay. So he wouldn't be getting all the accolades. He'd be getting more.
He'd be getting more.
Would you take Derrick Henry over Ezekiel Elliott?
Yes.
Over Shaq Linwood?
Yes.
Damn it. That's the wrong answer.
No, it's not.
Griff, how do you feel about the SEC being out of the top five for the first time in 5 years?
I mean, you look at Alabama. Alabama should be back in the top five right now.
Why?
They should be.
Griff, you want to know who I think the best team in the SEC is?
Who?
Texas A&M.
Whoa. Okay, I'm kind of hedging my bets here, and I'm trying to keep A&M a little bit lower down the pole that way.
I've never heard Griff throw up a stop sign on A&M before.
All right.
Outside of Johnny Manziel, I dislike A&M. I think they're the best team in the SEC.
No, I think you're wrong, and I'm gonna show.
I think Alabama is overrated.
Alabama's so good. Their offensive line, their defensive line, and their running game is better than anybody else's in the SEC, except for defensive line. Probably,
I'm telling you this,
with A&M.
A&M is about to start taking over the SEC because they run the spread offense. Dude, these Georgias, Alabamas, LSUs. They're great at stopping each other because all they do is run up the middle for a cloud of dust in 3 yards. Everybody can stop
that. Did you
guys
see Jurassic Park this summer?
Yes.
Does anybody think that Derrick Henry is just an escaped raptor with those teeth?
I mean, he runs like that, shit.
You know Derrick Henry is like Chris Bosh's kid, right?
No wonder he looks like the Predator.
So he's from Dallas.
I mean, I love Derrick Henry. I think he's a stud. He is an absolute stud.
He's a stud, but he's the third best back in the conference.
No. So, he's second best back in the conference. That's only because Leonard Fournette is the best back.
But you said Nick Chubb is better too.
I don't think Nick Chubb's better.
You said earlier that he was.
But he's getting more accolades. He's getting more accolades. I think Derrick Henry, in my opinion, is the better back going into the next level. Derrick Henry is just, I mean, looks like...
Okay, see, that's where I get lost. This is a
college podcast, not NFL.
I understand.
You ain't Mel Kiper over there.
All right, let's try this. Do you think the Alabama offensive line is better than the Georgia offensive line?
Yes.
Okay, so based on that, wouldn't Derrick Henry be running for more yards than Nick Chubb?
Yeah.
But he's not.
Yeah, I understand. That's because he's got to split time with Drake.
If you actually watch the Georgia-Alabama game, Nick Chubb didn't do shit. His numbers looked all right because he had an 83-yard touchdown run. But other than that, he didn't do shit.
He was running for like 3.2 yards per carry. Now, granted, he was running in the middle of a hurricane / tropical storm.
Well, I'll tell you what, that didn't stop Alabama from running up some points.
No, it sure didn't. Alabama looked fucking good. It looked really fucking good.
Or I think it was more of – this is why I'm saying Alabama's overrated. It was more of Georgia just looked like utter crap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I honestly was not
impressed at all with Alabama. I know they, the score-wise looked dominant. I didn't think it was anything that impressive.
Really? I think you guys are so used to seeing, like, points being put up in the Big 12 and, you know, that just being what it is. You know, Baylor puts up a ton of points, and that's y'all's team. So,
Griff, but I'm a Northwestern fan.
Northwestern and Baylor.
Yeah, I didn't see a whole lot of points up there, buddy.
But, I mean, Alabama does it with balance. The balance that's there, like, you have no clue whatever set they come out in. What are they running? Are they running? Are they passing? They don't sub in and out to make it so obvious that you know what's coming. They don't empty out backfields to isolate linebacker situations with quarterbacks so they can quarterback draw like Mississippi State did all last weekend.
So what you're saying is they're stupid and don't take advantage of tactical –
No, I think that Bama is not stupid. I think that Lane Kiffin is actually, whenever he doesn't have his
– When he's not banging Saban's daughter.
Whenever he's not banging Saban's daughter, to put it lightly.
He got with Clint Trickett. He got the good word. He's like, I got to get a part of that.
Dude, didn't Saban's daughter get married like last year?
Yeah.
Jeez.
The rumor is either Saban's daughter or like the wife of a booster.
Yeah, that's a pretty wide-ranging rumor, though.
I've heard both.
Yeah, whatever happened to that rumor? Like, anything ever come of it?
What happened is they beat Georgia, so no one gave a shit anymore.
Yep.
Everyone cares when you lose to Ole Miss. You start winning games again, like, fuck it, we're keeping Lane Kiffin.
Yep.
Anyway, Griff, who's number two? We still got 13 more teams to get through.
Griff, let's keep the synopsis down to a couple sentences here.
All right, couple sentences. LSU number two. Leonard. I know.
Where's A&M?
You don't like it. Leonard Fournette's at number – basically Leonard Fournette's at number two plus the LSU defense. Brandon Harris is a piece of shit quarterback. He should be ranked number 14 on quarterback power rankings.
Your top two teams, why can they never find a good quarterback? Ever.
You know what? I think it's –
No, because that's false about Alabama. Alabama every once in a while gets a good quarterback.
Greg McElroy, like – was done 6-7 years ago.
Here's my opinion.
It's every once in a while. Dude, the Sims was pretty good last year.
Sims was good last year. Here's my opinion on it all. These teams have predicated themselves on defense.
Zach Mettenberger?
That they slowed down everything they've done. Zach Mettenberger was good.
But he wasn't like top team in the country good.
You're right, but
because like, these teams are always top five, but they can never get an elite quarterback, and I never understand.
You're right, and there's only one team in this conference that does have an elite quarterback.
Texas A&M.
But
that best team.
That team is not even at my number three currently.
Oh my gosh, Griff. Were you trying to be so unbiased that you forgot that A&M's
in the SEC? He's got A&M at like 11.
I think Griff forgot that. I think Griff thinks A&M's still in the Big 12.
Well, number three is the Gators.
No.
Yep.
Hey, Griff, I really think you are a guy that you have to score.
I've been on the Gators all year.
The swamp is real. Jim McElwain is a good coach.
Griff, you've lost a lot of credibility with me tonight by just not picking your favorite team.
How am I losing credibility?
You're stupid.
We have dub number two.
Okay. All right, Florida's for real. They've got a shutdown corner. They can put it on anybody. Vernon Hargreaves, best cornerback I've seen in a long.
He's really good.
Yes, he is.
They have an atrocious offensive line.
You're right.
Can't move the ball.
But they've got so much speed on defense. Okay, if there's one thing that
Griff
did right,
let me kind of relate this to you on a personal level. Defense. So as your eighth grade team knows. Four turnovers, playing some good defense. Your offense can't score. You don't win any games.
And that brings us to number four on the Griff Power Rankings, Missouri.
No. Get out of here. Yeah. All right. No, four on Power Rankings. We're coming through Texas A&M.
About damn time.
Oh, God. I love A&M. It's my school. It's been my school since I've been an itty-bitty child. I love what Kevin Sumlin.
Minus the 2 years at Baylor.
Great analysis so far. I love him.
Whenever I was at Baylor that I didn't care about Baylor sports. I loved A&M more than anything else. All right, look. Someone's putting together a juggernaut here in College Station. The only problem is currently this offensive line cannot run block, and we do not have depth at linebacker to stop running plays. And currently rolling into Alabama Alabama coming into us in 2 weeks. I think Alabama's going to run us over. I think it's going to be a close game. Whatever that spread's going to be, you know, it's going to be a top 10 matchup. It'll probably be College Game Day. It's going to be awesome at the new Kyle Field.
I think that week's going to actually be Sparty, Michigan.
You think so?
Probably. They've already done Bama twice. That's my guess.
Well, you're probably right since they've done Bama twice. But I think A&M, you know, that game should probably be within a touchdown game. I still like Bama. Bama's going to run over A&M because right now A&M
is very good, but I like your point that they have to get the running game going. Trey Carson has to move the ball more on the ground. So
yeah, he does. And the only problem is that currently we moved our backup running back out to cornerback. Brandon Williams got moved out to cornerback. Trey Williams left early to declare for the draft and didn't even get drafted. Idiotic move. And then James White, the sophomore from Pearland Dawson, ends up, you know, he looks awesome all the way through the spring. Second play versus Arizona State, ends up getting hit on the hip, has a hip pointer. And then last week, as he's coming back from his hip pointer, takes a face mask right in the ribs. So hopefully he'll be okay for Alabama, but I don't know. I don't know. It's just not looking. I don't think it's A&M's year just yet. I think they're in the process, but they're not there yet.
History Number tells us it's never their year.
Dang, that's the cheapest ticket for a Cubs game standing room only is $300.
That's awesome.
Me and Griff are going to go to the Astros game for $40.
Yep, true. Will, you going to go be the next Bartman?
Nope.
All right. Well, you know.
All right, Griff, let's run through your last teams real quick. And by last teams, I mean the last 11.
Yeah, we're going to go through this real quick. Number five, Ole Miss. That one's pretty self-explanatory. Ole Miss beat Alabama, lost to Florida on the road. Nobody knows what they really are. And Kelly is he's a mental case though.
Dr. Bo for a couple years. This guy seems legit.
Hold on, you have Chad Kelly as your mental case, but Real Greer is okay?
This rankings have all sorts of flaws.
No way. All right, where's Georgia? Will Greer is looking better and better each week. All right,
I'm waiting for Ben Handy to be next.
Number six is Georgia. You'll notice that I've only got two SEC East teams really pretty high up in my rankings. Everything else is SEC West. SEC West, still the sickest division of any SEC or of any conference in the entire nation. Seven, Mississippi State. I think they proved it this weekend at A&M. You know, they're good. They're a good football team. They've got a couple flaws that can be exposed, but I think it's really only exposed whenever you get spread out and you really start exposing their secondary depth.
Griff, that's what I said. That's what I've said about every SEC team: is you spread them out and they get exposed.
Yeah, but Florida and LSU, but Alabama and LSU are not those types of teams that get exposed by depth in the secondary.
By spread LSU, teams, they are. Ask Alabama. That's who they lose.
All right.
To.
Alabama lost to...
Griff, I think we might know the SEC better than you.
Absolutely not. Kirby struggles, but they
What
still
sort of bet do you want to make that A&M wins the SEC? Or maybe not the championship. They at least win the... What are they, in the West?
Yeah.
They win the SEC West.
I'll make a bet with you.
I'll take that. You know, A&M's not winning the SEC West this year. I'm telling you right now, we're losing to Alabama, we're losing to LSU, and we might lose to Ole Miss. I watch this conference too much.
LSU is, I think, who you would lose to.
We lose.
A&M always loses to LSU.
Yes, we do. LSU is on the road as well. Alabama at home, we will lose to Alabama. It will be closer than a lot of people think.
Where's Ole Miss?
Ole Miss is away after Alabama, the week after.
Man, you got a rough scheduling.
Yes, we do. But we
All
do
right,
get the
I
bye.
That bet. Before Alabama.
Yeah, you should.
All right, Griff, keep this thing moving. What else we got?
Eight, Kentucky after Mississippi State. I like Kentucky. I like what Stoops is doing. They've got a solid program. It's moving forward. It's not there yet. They need more depth, but it's going.
Jaded every time I hear these names. I just think they can score 15 points a game.
They can score 15
points. Moving.
Keep moving. Basketball. All right. So, anyways, let's move forward. Arkansas, I think Bielema, whenever he gets his team.
Arkansas is better than Kentucky.
I don't know yet. But Arkansas, whenever they.
Chris, I don't know until they play each other.
Once they play each other,
I'll tell you.
Once Bielema gets his teams rolling, he's got them going. We saw it last year at the end of the year, shutting down LSU and Ole Miss and Texas in a three-game span, which was really nice. After
it's real tough to shut down Texas these days.
All right, LSU offense.
Well, LSU offense last year still had Fournette. So
what did I tell you about him earlier? Was bad in SEC play. Keep it going.
All right, moving on.
Keep it moving, Griff.
He was a freshman last year. Tennessee, 10. Jones has so much talent there, and he's not coaching it up. I don't know how much longer Jones lasts. 11, Mizzou. I respect Pinkle a hell of a lot coming in.
Oh, my gosh, Griff. Nothing.
Nothing? You don't respect Pinkle as a coach?
Oh, no, that you have Mizzou that far down.
I have Mizzou that far down. Mizzou's not good this year.
Well, we'll discuss that in a couple games later that we pick.
Okay, Mizzou's just not that good. 12, Auburn. Auburn has the Muschamp curse, much akin to the Griff curse in fantasy football. As soon as I deem your team to be good, it goes down the shitter. Same thing with Muschamp. As soon as he joins your staff, goes down the toilet. Texas, Florida, Auburn, all awful.
Hey, Griff, are you excited that A&M did not get him to agree to the deal?
Now I am. Hell, we got John Chavis. That's the best defensive coordinator in football.
So who's number 13?
13. Old ball coach. Coming in. South Carolina. They're pretty terrible. I don't know how long Spurrier lasts there. He'll probably ride off into the sunset because he won't be fired. He'll just be asked to step down, and he'll do so because he doesn't give a shit anymore. You know Spurrier. He has that I don't care attitude. Mm-hmm. And he's getting pretty up there in age, so I don't think he's a coach for much longer. And then finally, your boys, Vanderbilt. God, what a fall from grace. From where they were just a couple of years ago all the way into Derek Mason now. Derek Mason has just destroyed the program.
Griff, so my analysis is out of all 14 teams, you only put 3 teams in the right order. Number 12, 13, and 14.
All right. Let's go.
All right.
Let's move on.
So we're getting back to our games. We have Georgia Tech going to number 6 Clemson. Clemson's a 7.5-point favorite. Whose game is this? Oh, this is mine.
That's you, old block.
That's me. I don't like Clemson's offense all that much. I think they get conservative. I don't think that they effectively use the running back, Galminator. We'll call him Calminator.
Will, the Galminator.
Their defense is still great. Clemson fans need to expect they're going to finally lose Venables at the end of the year. Georgia Tech, Justin Thomas at 46% passing. It's just painful to watch.
They don't pass. They're not trying to pass the ball.
I get that. But when you're the quarterback, you got to do better than 3.2 yards a carry if you're going to be a non-passing quarterback. Anyway, I think Clemson is going to win by more than 7.5. Georgia Tech just hasn't shown up this year. So.
Yeah, this is a game I don't particularly like either way. I'll take Georgia Tech to cover. More of a letdown spot for Clemson, and Georgia Tech playing with some pride after losing the last couple weeks. They lost real tough last week after blowing the lead against, what was that, North Carolina? Mm-hmm. I'll take Georgia Tech to cover the 7.5, but I think the line's pretty right on.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it better myself. Georgia Tech, you know, they're coming in. This is a letdown game for Clemson. Venables, like Dia said, Georgia Tech's got to come to grips with the fact that Venables is going to be gone. He's eventually going to get that head coaching job he's been looking for. I like Georgia Tech going into this game at -7.5. I'd probably even consider this one of the better bets of the week, honestly. I like Georgia Tech coming in versus Clemson.
There you go. Our next game.
Dia, who did you have covering?
Clemson.
So, Griff, you followed it up with, you guys couldn't have said it any better yourself, and then you're going to take Georgia Tech?
You said you would probably take Georgia Tech because it's a letdown game for Clemson, and I agree. Oh. It is a letdown game for Clemson.
You took Georgia Tech, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so you and Griff are on the same page.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, Griff, your game. You have your favorite team in the country, Alabama, hosting Arkansas.
Yep. You know, I'm secretly hoping that Arkansas comes in and grinds them down the way that they did last year, because Arkansas is that grindy type of team. But I've got Alabama, and Alabama should just shut down any kind of running game that Arkansas has. They've got the depth all over the place.
Not so fast, Greasy, because I know the SEC better than you do. Arkansas, I mean, for anybody that's listened to this podcast, is one of my favorite teams to bet on. They have one of the more efficient offenses in the country. The problem, again, I say this every week, is they'll get three or four first downs, and they'll stall out the 35, 40, 45-yard line. I don't think they're going to beat Alabama, but 17, I think, is a lot for two types of teams that like to run the ball a lot, keep the clock moving. I will take Arkansas to cover that 17 points.
I'm right there with you. Like you said, Arkansas's offense isn't bad. I think they're underrated at this point. Based on metrics alone, Arkansas has been the unluckiest team in the country thus far based on expected wins. Based on expected wins, they should have won another game and a half. So I think Arkansas isn't that bad. Bama's very good. I don't think they're 17 points better than Arkansas. Give me the Hogs. Chuck, you're up.
What are we at?
Okie State.
Oh, Charlie.
Yeah, she'll let you know.
Charlie's pretty excited about the Big 12 game.
Always. She woke up for that one.
So next we've got OK State at West Virginia. West Virginia's 7-point favorites. So Oklahoma State has escaped the last two games. They played Texas and got some favorable calls from the referees and a punter that punted the ball negative 6 yards to set up the game-winning field goal. Still funny to say. Then the next game against Kansas State, they had the referee on – what was it? Gave him a first down while they were 4 yards short, mm-hmm. which led to a touchdown and them winning the game.
It's awful.
They're not as good as being the number 21 team in the country, plus traveling to West Virginia. Morgantown's a very tough place to play. It's going to be a 6 o'clock start, so a late-night game. That place will be rocking. I'm going to take West Virginia to cover the 7.
Yeah, I'm right there. I think West Virginia, earlier in the day, I would have told you they were going to thump Oklahoma State. Today in practice, Carl Joseph for West Virginia, the best defensive player in the Big 12, went down with the torn ACL in practice, so he's out for the year now.
What? Dude, why don't you tell me that?
Because you don't like notes.
I don't need no notes.
Exactly. He texted it out.
Mm-hmm.
You think I read all those texts?
Maybe. So anyway, Skylar Howard looked scared against Oklahoma last week. He just threw up a dumb pick. He double clutches the ball. But he's back at home. I still think that I still think West Virginia is going to cover the 7, but I'm not as confident as I was 12 hours ago. I'm still taking the Mountaineers at home, late night game.
Carl Joseph note is so huge. That's the thing. That defense relies on him. Mm-hmm.
That it's so huge, the Vegas line didn't move on it.
I don't care. As a defensive coordinator, that is. If I lose my best weapon on defense, you know, just like I just did, it's hard. You know, it's hard to recover from that. I'm actually going to say that OK State kind of pulls it together. Mike Gundy is doing the whip and the nay-nay and the bop and doing the stanky leg inside Morgantown locker rooms at around 9 p.m., maybe 9:30 Eastern on Saturday. I got OK State covering versus West Virginia.
So speaking of things that nobody wants to see, let's talk about Florida, Missouri.
Oh, I want to talk. I don't know whose game this is. I want to talk about, just so I can shut up Griff about his rankings.
Go for it.
All right. So I don't remember where you had Florida. What, number 4?
3.
Three, even better. And Mizzou all the way down at 11.
Yep.
Come on, Griff. Florida, I know they're coming off a huge win and dominating performance on national TV against Ole Miss. You got to remember, they were a 4th-and-17 away from losing to Tennessee. They were down by 13 in the fourth quarter. I'm impressed they came back, and that was great and all, but seriously, they were losing by 13 to Tennessee with 10 minutes left. Florida is overrated, and you have them the third best team in the SEC. Come on.
Got them there.
Mizzou, the 11th best team in the SEC, the two-time SEC East champions. So I forget his name. Right, it's off the top of my head. The freshman quarterback at Mizzou is better than Matt Mock. With Mizzou's defense, they're always going to be in it. I will take the 5.5 all day at home with Mizzou. Letdown game for Florida. I got Mizzou winning the game straight up. I got Mizzou by field goal to 7 points. That's your 11th ranked SEC team beating your 3rd ranked SEC team.
No, Florida ain't coming out and dealing with that. Jim McElwain has the heartbeat of this team going. Okay, he realizes the fact that this team is under new management, and they are believing in themselves. And after last week, believing in themselves, you saw the kind of passion he had on the sideline a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember what team they were playing, but he grabbed the guy by the face mask and just ends up screaming at him after a stupid penalty. You're looking at a coach that demands respect, and he's obviously getting that respect. He knows that locker room. He knows what he can get away with. He's going into Missouri. Missouri cannot move the ball.
But I thought you respected ball. Gary Pinkel.
You have to respect Gary Pinkel for the coaching job he did previously.
I'm not going to argue with you on Jim McElwain.
All right. So you can have the heartbeat of the team, but you don't. That doesn't make you have a running game. It doesn't make you have a better Will Grier. Will Grier went out of his mind last week, throwing for 83%. Their defense is great at Florida. Their running game is terrible. The defensive front for Missouri is still their bread and butter. Drew Locke is a new freshman quarterback. I think I'm with Will. He may be better than Matty Mock. Either way, he still looks good. He has to face the Florida defense, which is tough to throw against. What concerns me about Missouri is they only have 2 rushing touchdowns on the year, one of which was with Matty Mock. I think Florida wins, and I'm going to take them to cover the 5.5, but I'm not confident.
That's Hansborough was out until last week.
Belly slaps, sending them out. Look, guys, Florida is 4-1 against the spread. Missouri is 1-4 against the spread.
I've bet on Florida most games this year. I like Florida as a whole. This is just a bad spot for him against that 11th best team in the SEC. Bad spot. Griff, I'm going to love it when I get all these SEC games right and you're wrong on every single one of them.
I will relish in the fact when it's the opposite.
Griff, we're on opposites for all 3 SEC games we're talking about. We're opposite on all of them.
Yep.
Can't wait.
Can't wait. Bart Scott, greatness.
So let's go to a team that could be in the SEC because they don't score much and they play good defense. Let's go to TCU goes to Kansas State and Bill Snyder. Griff, you have any thoughts on that one?
Absolutely. Kansas State, baby. Sign me up. Bill Snyder.
Gotta respect him.
Most underrated coach. I'm not going to go with one of the most. The most underrated coach in the history of college football. Bill Snyder, since he's been a coach in the Big 12, 38-13 against the spread with the Big 12. Bill Snyder, Kansas State, 38-13. That's a 51 game.
That's like 5 years
sample size. 5 years, you play. What? Well,
no, my point is, okay, if you're coming up with 51 games for Bill Snyder, he's basically been there for 15 years, after, like, take away the 3 Ron Prince years.
Okay, look, yes, but 38-13, if you look at the numbers, that's what? 3-1. It's almost a 750 winning percentage.
Yeah, but I don't know where your numbers against the spread.
I think if you're looking at a team, if you tell me if I have to put my money on a team that's at a 75% chance to win, I'm going to do it. Kansas State matches up well against TCU, I think. Kansas State has good linebacker play, which is what's needed. I mean, in my opinion, Kansas State has good linebacker play, which is what's needed against TCU's style of offense. I think that TCU's defense is extremely porous at the moment. I think that they just matched up well versus Texas because Texas is one of the most god-awful teams in the nation currently. And so you're looking at, you know, I think you're looking at a Kansas State cover here.
Chuck?
Oh, sorry. Waking up. That was kind of boring. Kind of like Kansas State. So
yeah.
I really don't like this game either way. If I've got a pick, I'm taking Kansas State for not as in-depth as Griff, but for the same reason as Kansas State usually plays teams tough, especially at home under Bill Snyder. I'll take the 9 points, but I don't have a strong opinion either way on this game.
I don't have a strong opinion, but I think I'm more strong in this game than you two are. And I'm going the other way. TCU housed UT. Their defense is still, as Griff put it, porous. But in order for it to be porous and take advantage of, you have to pour something in it. The problem for Kansas State is Joe Huber is just not a Big 12 quality starting quarterback. 53% in conference isn't going to win you many games. And if you're going to be a bad passing quarterback, you better be able to run the ball. And so far, they can't. They're averaging 3.1 yards a carry as a team. So TCU is going to get theirs offensively. Their defense may be bad, but you still have to put up 4 to 5 touchdowns to win a game. So I'm taking TCU. I'm giving the 9 points. I think they're going to win more than 9. So give me the Horned Frogs. We got 2 more games. Our last game before we get into like weird madness late at night for the Pac-12 is we have Miami going to Florida State. Florida State's a 9.5-point favorite. This is part of Al Golden's farewell parade. Joseph Yearley for Miami is a great running back. He's a playmaker that doesn't get enough attention. Brad Kaya got a lot of attention last year. This year he's been okay, but he has to like start scoring more points. I don't know why Florida State's not scoring more. Just looking at the numbers, Everett Golson's been fine. Devin Cook has actually been really great at almost 9 yards a carry. I think FSU's – I mean, I bet on them last week to beat Wake by 20. It didn't happen. I think FSU's going to cover the 9.5. I'm not really confident in that, though, but I'm taking the Noles.
Hey, Dick, just wanted to let you know. You know Dalvin Cook's probably out, right?
I do.
Okay.
But if he plays, he's been really good.
Hey, Dick.
Glad you like that, Griff.
All right. This ain't Jameis Winston's Florida State. It ain't. Miami. Big.
This ain't Ken Dorsey's Miami.
Griff, is that you think Miami wins big or they cover that 9 big?
Miami loses by 6. Big.
No, I think Miami covers. I don't think Florida State drops the game at home. I think that'd be ridiculous if they did. But I think, you know, in-state rivalry. You know, I know I went the opposite way with OU covering a big game earlier, but that's probably just my pure unadulterated hatred for the University of Texas. Here, realistically, in-state rivalries never get really blown that big out of the water because everybody's against each other.
Lucky for you, Texas-Oklahoma is not an in-state rivalry.
You're right. But it basically is. Oklahoma takes all their players from Texas anyways. Oklahoma sucks.
Griff, who do you dislike more, UT or Oklahoma?
I mean, I dislike
Texas big.
Texas big. I dislike Texas as a school, Oklahoma as a state.
How about that? The only good thing that's ever come out of UT is Tannis.
Yep, absolutely. Tannis is a golden child that has come out of Texas, and we're good with Tannis. Tannis is good people.
Griff, do you hate Kevin Durant?
Kevin Durant. Mm-mm. Hard to hate that guy. Mm-hmm. He's got some game. Miles Turner, on the other hand, dislike.
Why?
Didn't you just draft him in our league?
I did. TJ Ford, dislike.
Another nice guy.
Yeah, I know. Jamal Charles, dislike. Although I did teach Jamal Charles' cousin.
Griff hates any All-Pros.
Yep. I hate anybody who's had success coming out of that burn orange school. No, I don't really hate them, but I dislike them.
All right,
Will, what's your take on this game?
Back to the topic at hand. Again, this is a kind of a crappy card. Don't really care about this game either. I'm going to take Florida State to cover. What is it, nine and a half?
Nine and a half.
I think Florida State is just kind of due for a game where they actually beat somebody like they're supposed to, and Miami is just falling apart. So give me Florida State.
Our last game of Saturday. Saturday night at 9 o'clock Central, Cal Bears are going to Utah.
Oh, yeah.
Utah, 7-point favorite.
Oh, Chuck's in the Pac-12.
Late night in the Pac-12. Here we go.
Hold on, let me jump in here. So every time we've covered a late night Pac-12 game, the following week we ask Will if he watched it. The answer is always no.
Oh, yeah, I'll be watching this one. This one's good.
No, you're not. Don't lie to us.
Oh, this one's going to be good. Yeah, I mean, most of the time they're kind of shitty games, but this one is legit. I got Cal not only to cover the 7, to win. Upset of the week.
Upset special.
Right here. Cal, so everybody, the last thing people remember about Utah is them putting up 600 yards, 62 points against Oregon. That was impressive in Eugene. This isn't the same Oregon team over the last couple of years. You also forget this Utah offense is averaging like 300 yards a game. And if you take out that Oregon game, they are one of the worst teams in the country at converting third downs. Here's your stat. They are 60th out of 65 teams in the Power 5 at converting third downs this year.
Ooh. Chuck brings one stat a week, and that would be the one.
There you go. There's your stat of the week.
Chuck was ready.
So Cal, their offense is much more higher powered. Utah's still going to score some points, but I've got Cal to win this game 35-33. But take the 7 points.
How the hell did you score 3 points? Let's go through this real quick. You're saying 3 field goals?
Griff, predicting scores are never right, so I'm just picking up field numbers goals here.
So Chuck has 4 touchdowns, a field goal, and a safety. Boom, 33.
There you go. Found it. I don't know, one of those late night or like run out of the back of the end zone with like 1 second left to kill the clock.
Come on, Chuck,
boom,
would you say
right
like 35-33? He has 5 touchdowns. They go for 2 at some point and don't get it.
There you go. Boom, problem solved.
I mean,
how the heck do you end up with 19 points like Notre Dame?
I'm also taking Cal. I think Jared Goff and Kenny Lawler are an underrated duo. Jared Goff could be the first pick in the draft this upcoming year. Kenny Law is a really good player. He has 8 touchdowns on the year. They're back in the backfield. Muhammad is averaging 9 yards a carry on 40 touches. Look for him to make a difference. Travis Wilson's okay. I'm going to emphasize okay. I'm with Will. That's kind of what I wrote down. That Devin Booker's a workhorse back who I think could be pretty good, but he's not elite. I don't really know how they scored 62. I don't expect them to do it again. Cal's a high-flying offense whose defense is terrible. I don't think they win, but I'm going to take them to cover the 7.
You guys are so gullible. It's not even funny. I'm looking here. Look, California gave up 44 points to the Flying Uteruses in Austin, Texas. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. There's no way. There's no way that Utah doesn't cover this game. Cal's defense is bad. It is bad. They give 44 to Texas, 24 to Washington, 28 to Washington State. Utah, on the flip side, has not allowed more than 24 points the entire season long. Playing Michigan, playing Utah State, Fresno State, Oregon, and Colorado State, all programs that are at least worth mentioning.
But only one is known to have a good offense.
I agree with you that none of them have
a Griff's kind of watched too many SEC games that he doesn't know what offense looks like anymore.
I absolutely know what offense looks like. I watch the only team in the SEC that plays offense.
And you still think they're like the fifth best team in the SEC.
Because we don't have linebacker depth.
You've got, in your eyes, the number five in the Heisman running on defense.
Miles Garrett is a number one pick in the NFL draft next year.
To Will's point,
don't want to get too off topic. Back to the game.
Who do you need linebacker depth to stop? No offense is good. We just talked about that.
All right, let's go back to the Cal game here.
You need to stop the running game. Anyways, let's get back to the Cal game. Cal, Utah, you guys are all over Cal. I'm all over Utah. It's unbelievable. Everybody's thinking, okay, this has got to be a trap game for Utah because they've done so well versus Oregon. But guess what? They're coming off of a bye week. Okay.
True.
Utah is coming off of a bye week. They're prepared for California. California's defense is not good. You're right. Jared Goff might be the number one overall pick, and he might be suiting up for my and your Houston Texans next year because the Texans are
only off. If Bill O'Brien's gone.
Well, Bill O'Brien, if he's still there, he's taking Christian Hackenberg, mm-hmm. and we all know that's happening. But here's the deal. Utah is just not even coming close to not covering this game. Utah is a studly team.
No.
They are.
Griff, I can't wait to hear your actual money bets. You might end up with Garza with zero. Losing 1,000.
Speaking of that, let's go ahead and get to the money bets.
Whoa, before we get to that, I just realized there's one other game on here that that's not posted. You don't have to talk about it real in depth, but just wanted to give my my listeners a way to make some extra money. Take Nebraska to win straight up against Wisconsin.
Fair enough. Okay, so.
Big Ten.
All right, so let's go ahead and get everybody's bets. We've gone on way too long. We're going to have another 3-hour podcast. Our podcasts are like longer than most movies.
Shoot, D-Block.
All right, so here's my bets. I'm putting $400 in Arkansas to cover the 17. I'm putting $200 on West Virginia to cover the 7 against Oklahoma State. I got $300 on TCU to cover the 9. And where did I put my other 100? I have $100 on Missouri to cover the 5.5 versus Florida. Griff, what do you got?
All right. I've got $300 on SMU. Okay, Smoo's coming out on Thursday night. Like you guys said, those ain't blowout games. So put $300 on Smoo. Put $100 on Baylor covering 45 versus Kansas. Okay, I've got $400 on Georgia against Tennessee. Final bet, we've got $200 on Georgia Tech to cover against Clemson.
Griff, you bet a lot of like the really shitty games.
Sorry, I'm looking out for my listeners. Okay, trying to make them a little bit of money. I guarantee you I'm making money this week as against your previous guest co-hosts. I'm actually going to make people money.
I can't claim that. I cannot do that.
I make lots of money from my listeners.
All right, Money Man, what you got?
So I got 6 bets. I got one.
Not again.
So for the first 5, I've got 150. So I've got UT to cover the 17.5. I've got Tennessee to cover the 3. I've got Michigan to cover the 8. I've got Arkansas to cover the 17. And I've got Mizzou to cover the 5.5. And then my big money bet, $250 on Cal. Lock of the week.
Lock of the week, Cal.
Lock of the week. It's not even double your normal bets, but it's lock of the week.
And last week, every bet was like 166.
Griff, I'm more of a mutual fund. I diversify my investments. I don't put everything all on one.
Gotcha.
I'm not a stock picker.
All right, portfolio managers, I'm glad that you guys have made it to the end of our Titanic-type movie. We'll be coming back to you next week. We have Sally coming on, so we're going to get him live because apparently the hurricane has flooded him out. So we'll get him on next week. We want to thank Griff for coming on, so you guys can tell the people goodbye.
Peace out, motherfuckers.
Hasta luego. You can see me doing Money Manziel right now.
They can't, but we'll take that for what it's worth. All right, bye, listeners. All the pretty girls in the world, and the ugly girls too. But to me, you're pretty anyway, baby.